Moncrief on News Talk.
It's rugby, but not as you usually know it. Nicholas Harvey is founder of Pure Underwater Rugby in Guildford in the UK. Nick, good afternoon.
Good afternoon. How are you doing?
Did you invent this or is it somebody else's idea?
It was someone else's idea. It was invented in Germany in the 60s by some divers who wanted to continue using their skill set in the off-season. So no, I can't claim to have invented that, I'm afraid.
Okay, and now it's described as underwater rugby, so obviously it's underwater. So in what way is it like rugby?
Well, the only way it's really like rugby is because it's full contact. Apart from the rest of it, you can pass forwards, up, down, left or right. You've got a circular ball rather than a rugby-shaped ball. And there's no sort of set scrums or anything like that. But you basically play it in about 4 metres of depth in a dive pit. Everyone's wearing snorkel masks, fins, flippers. And there's two sort of like waste paper sort of baskets, oversized waste paper baskets at the bottom of either end of the pool. And you're just trying to wrestle this ball into the basket.
Okay, so, all right. So it's... So none of the features of rugby then?
Very little.
And how big are the teams?
So for a full team, there's 12 per team, but only ever six will be in the water at any one time because it's played underwater, so you're holding your breath. Like there's continual rolling subs, so as one player jumps out, another jumps in.
Right, okay. And so if somebody's on the water and they have the ball in their hands, the opposing team, what are they allowed to do to them?
No kicking, no punching. They can't grab the equipment. But yeah, I mean, it's full contact. There'll be lots of grips and sort of wrestling. It might sound dangerous on the offset, but if you need to go up to breathe, you just let go of the ball and all the focus will be on the ball. So you can only tackle someone if they've got the ball.
Okay. And when you say no messing with the equipment, are people wearing breathing apparatus of some sort or do you mean something else by equipment?
Yeah. So snorkel and mask is what I meant by that. All the fins, like the flippers. You can't grab on to any of the equipment, but pretty much everything else is full game.
Okay. And how do people pass? Do people pass the ball to each other?
Yeah, great question. So the ball's slightly smaller diameter than a football. It's filled full of salt water, so it sinks. It's quite heavy, but you can throw it like a shot put, and you can throw it 2 to 3 meters, something like that. But what I think is lovely about this game is it's fully 3D. So you know you might be upside down and passing left, right, up, down. You know wherever it might go, it's just wherever the team are supporting.
And how do you know who's on your team and who's not when you're underwater? Are there kits?
Yeah, same thing. So you'll have there's a hat, which is like for safety, but also to designate which team you're on, and then trunks. And then in some competitions, they insist on wearing a vest as well.
Okay. And how long does a match last for?
So a full game would be 15 minutes each way with stoppage time. But I must admit, most of the tournaments we attend, it might be 10 minutes a side or even 10 minutes for a full game with no stoppage time.
Oh, and why is that? Why does it vary?
I think possibly it's a grassroots sport. You know, hardly anyone's ever heard of it. So there's only a small community of us that do it compared to sort of rugby or football or anything else. And, you know, we're out there for a weekend. You want to play as many matches as you can. We play in Europe mostly. So they try and condense it into a day or 2 days of a tournament. So they try and get as many different games going in the weekend.
Is there a referee? Or is there a need for one, given that there's no rules?
Oh, there's plenty of rules. There's plenty of rules. And yes, there are referees. So every game will have at least one ref who's underwater, who's normally wearing scuba equipment. And they've got like a handheld buzzer that that everyone can hear, because half the problem, you can't communicate underwater in the normal manner of shouting, etc. And then you'll also have a ref who's on the surface, who's like conducting from the surface. So if the water ref makes a call and presses the buzzer, everyone comes to the surface and the deck ref will explain what it may be, penalty, free throw or whatever.
Okay. And what would they award a penalty for or a free throw for?
So a free throw could be, say, someone had let go of the ball, but the opposing team was still holding onto their leg. That's quite a common free throw. Over-aggressive play. If the ball comes outside the water, that's all free throws. A penalty, quite similar to sort of football, really. If there was a foul that potentially prevented a goal, so that might be someone holding onto the basket, for instance, they're the goal and holding themselves down because you can't use your hands to hold yourself on. Or there's a few other things. If there's like foul play just as someone's about to score, then it would be a penalty.
Okay. And what's the difference then between, because this sounds more similar to water polo.
Well, there's a lot of similarities between water polo, except water polo is played above water. And underwater rugby is played fully below water. But yeah, there's definitely some similarities to water polo.
Okay. Oh, so if say, for instance, you had the ball, but you stick your head over the water, would that be considered foul play of some sort?
No, you'd be okay. So you can breathe on the surface. It doesn't happen very often because the team will just target you. The opposing team will just target you. So the majority of the play is underwater. So you occasionally get rucks that do come onto the surface. But no, it's just if the ball breaks the surface of the water.
One of our listeners says, I just looked at a video of this and there seems to be some bloke sitting on a waste paper basket. What's he doing?
I like that. Yeah, that's a good description. So what you do, there are three main positions. There's a goalie, which is what your listeners just described, a defender and an attacker. The goalie puts their back and shoulders on the basket, and then they use their fins to sort of pick down to create pressure, so they're hard to lift off. So that's what you've, one of your listeners is just the video they've seen.
That should make it extraordinarily difficult to score then, I thought, if there's an actual body between you and the goal.
Very much so, yeah. So that's where there's sort of like the final aggressions needed to sort of, you got to knock the defender out of the way, knock the goalie out of the way, and then wrestle the ball into the goal. Yeah.
So you can tackle someone even if they don't have the ball.
Sorry, I should have mentioned that. If you've got the ball and someone's in the way, you can get them out of the way.
Okay, right. Okay,
and that makes more sense.
Yeah, it makes more sense. So would these tend to be high scoring games?
So, sometimes we played 3 or 4 weeks ago in Italy in a tournament. The differential score was 15. So we got 15 and they got zero. And that was over 2 10-minute halves. In the same tournament, we scored 1-1 as well. So it really is depending on the disparity in skill level between the two teams. I've also been beaten 32-0 as well. So it depends on.
We all have our half days, I suppose. And from what you're saying, it sounds like this is far more popular in Europe.
Yeah, so it's sort of Germany and Northern Europe. There's probably a couple of teams per city. Southern Europe is still more popular than it is in the UK. In the UK, we've got, there's only three active teams, one in London, one in Guildford, one in Cheltenham. I don't think there was one in Ireland. There was talk of someone trying to set one up. I'm not sure it went anywhere. And actually in Colombia, huge sport in Colombia, bizarrely.
Huh. Right. Okay. And when there are kind of tournaments and the like, are they so? Would you have many countries taking part in tournaments?
Yeah. So we're doing a 2-part tournament this year. We did the first leg in Italy a couple of weeks ago, and the second leg's in October in Athens. And from there, there's probably 8 different clubs. Oh, sorry, there's 20 different clubs from probably 9 different countries.
Okay, so and your sense is it's increasing in popularity.
I think in some countries, yes. In ours, we've remained pretty stagnant for the last 5 years in terms of total numbers. But yeah, in some countries, it's definitely increasing. Italy, they seem to be, and Spain, there seems to be more teams popping up there. So yeah, it does seem to be. It's never going to be a hugely popular sport, and I think that's part of the draw for it for me, because yes. It's not a very good spectator sport, but it is just wonderful to play, and I've been doing it for a decade, and it's silliness is part of the draw.
Another one of our listeners, Nick, wants to know, can you punch someone? Now, it's difficult to do underwater anyway, but legally, would that be legal?
No, so you can push, but you can't punch.
Okay, there you go. They've lost all interest now. Okay. Nick, Nick, thanks very much for talking with us today. That was Nicholas Harvey there, founder of Pure Underwater Rugby in Guildford in the UK.
Moncrief, weekdays at 2 p.m. on News Talk.